The season is going to start August 22nd with our annual Shakespeare in the Park presentation. We are seriously thinking about going inside for this year's production. First time in 9 years we'll have done that. And the reason is because they're going to renovate the Galena Plaza. That's been in the works for a number of years. They're going to tear off the top of the parking garage, which is the circle out behind the Pitkin County Library, where we usually perform. And so that'll be torn up due to construction. And so we have a couple of venues in mind that we're going to take Shakespeare into. So actually, instead of in the park, it'll be Shakespeare inside. And what we're going to do this year, also considering the fact that it's a little disruptive with the Galena Plaza, what we're used to, is we are going to, instead of doing a Shakespearean play, which we usually do, we're going to have three folks. I'll be one of them. Owen O'Farrell, who played the friar in Romeo and Juliet's last summer's production of Romeo and Juliet. And this other fellow I was in a play with down at Thunder River called David Pulliam. The three of us are going to do various scenes and monologues from various Shakespearean plays. And we're going to call the evening Boys Will Be Boys. And so these folks are going to range all the way from Hamlet to Richard III to Henry IV to Macbeth, Bottom, and Midsummer Night's Dream. So it's going to be a pretty entertaining and interesting evening, I believe, not only for the fact to get a feel and touch for these various male players in Shakespearean plays, but also it's going to be fun for we actors in that we get to play in the same evening vastly different characters. We're thinking, for instance, of the actor who plays Richard III playing Bottom, a comedic figure in Midsummer Night's Dream. And that opens August 22nd.
Well, Kent, this is April. You are months away from your performance. Are you already rehearsing, or are you working out what parts you're going to play and so forth?
Indeed, yes. We've already got a cast. And as a matter of fact, I'm meeting with these three fellows next week to see, to solidify just what scenes we're going to do, how long the scenes are going to be, what characters we're going to play, how many monologues we're going to do, and the sequence of
the
whole
thing. So it's a lot of work, and you need to get that done now.
It is. Usually what we do, I mean, with Shakespeare in the Park, there's a lot of editing involved, and there'll be a lot of editing involved in this, I'm sure, too. But what we usually do is take a 2.5 hour Shakespearean play and cut it down to 1 hour and 15 minutes, maintaining the primary characters and being able to tell the story. And so, yeah, there's a lot of preliminary work other than just it's kind of academic work before we actually start the rehearsal process with the actors in place and growing the characters.
These plays have been done thousands of times. How do you approach it, knowing that?
Well, as and why Shakespeare has been around such a long time, both in literary terms and in dramatic terms, in the theatrical sense, is because it's so malleable. I mean, and people's concept of how Hamlet should be played, or how Macbeth should be played, or how this particular Shakespearean story should be related. There's a lot of flexibility there. Flexibility as far as character interpretation of the story itself, and often the time period that it's placed in. For instance, there's a great Ian McClellan movie about Richard III that was set in the 30s, just before Nazism came in. So it's a lot of fun to be able to interpret Shakespearean plays in different ways.
Well, the other thing you're working on is an entire play, Betrayal, by Harold Pinter. What's that process like? I assume you're starting that now as well.
We are. Actually, there's a couple of things we have in the works, and Betrayal is definitely one of them. And we are also, we had a meeting last week about the beats. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Betrayal is a three-character play written by Harold Pinter. and really based on a true story about an affair he had in his life. And the interesting thing about this play is that it really goes backward in time. In other words, the first scene is the end of this affair, and the ending scene of the play is when the affair first starts. It's usually the other way around. You know, you start an affair, and then linearly, it's
a linear way. And this is the word reversed.
It goes from the beginning to the end, and this actually starts at the end and goes to the beginning. So it's very interesting in that way, and it's very interesting in this kind of British interpretation and language that he uses. It's very much more reserved than you would have, say, if these three people were American. You know, there'd probably be blood on the floor and whatever.
In what way? And so there would be a fight.
Well, I mean, it's a typical, stereotypical American attitude of the British anyway. Reserved, hiding their feelings, not really saying exactly what they mean. Trying to be circumspect and not forthcoming in exactly what's going on.
So fertile ground for a playwright.
Yeah, for a playwright and for actors. We intend to do this with British accents, which is always a little scary. But there's several people in town, one who are British and who can help us along that way. And yeah, for myself, I'm a pretty emotional type actor. And for me, it's going to be interesting for these actors to challenge them to have all the emotion underneath this patina or facade of respectability or formality. When all this is bubbling underneath, we Americans are more apt just to let it all out like a volcano. The British put a cap on that. But the intensity, there was a movie with Ben Kingsley and Jeremy Irons did this play as a movie, Betrayal. And it was very interesting to watch, especially Ben Kingsley, the one who's being cuckolded. Every once in a while, it would just burst out. He just couldn't help it, rather than being the proper guy. And so anyway, it's going to be a fascinating study of a extramarital affair with a stiff upper lip.
How do you prepare for your role in this? Walk me through that.
For Betrayal?
Yeah.
Well, one, I'm not sure I'm going to be in it, but, I just...
Any role.
I finished All My Sons not too long ago down in Thunder River Theater Company. Very good production, directed by Lon Winston. And, I've been at it acting quite a while, and I studied it for quite a while. And what I'm finding with myself and what I found with All My Sons and what I've gradually come to is one, research these folks and see what kind of environment they came out of and see what the envelope they move in the world. And then really just to relate and trust your fellow actors. And I'm learning that for myself, it's more instinctual and intuitive, my process. Now, that's not everybody's process. And even as long as I've been in the business, I've just come to this particular realization. How do I work? I see how, I attend classes and there's all kinds of various approaches to acting, academic approaches to acting, and I think all of it's pretty much been a benefit to me. But, in some ways, I think it can get in your way. You can overthink things. Say, my teacher said I should do this or I should do that. And I think eventually as you mature in the craft, if that kind of instruction falls away and you find your own way into the truth of the character, which makes the character believable. And if you're portraying a believable human being on stage rather than just kind of a entertaining performance, then that's the deeper the audience feels what you're going through. And that's what you want. That's what I want as an actor, that they take this journey with you. And it has to, and the deeper you can go within yourselves and relate those kinds of complicated and deep emotions, then the better off you are. You know, and that's comedy or drama. It's just not drama. I mean, you know, the best of Neil Simon works if you really believe in those guys, you know, The Odd Couple or Barefoot in the Park. You believe they're real human beings, and that's what I'm after.
So Allen Ginsberg, Jack Kerouac, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, Gregory Corso, they're all coming to town, I hear.
Indeed. You know, a couple of 3 years ago or so, mainly due to the influence of Kim Nuzzo, we got together, he and I, and yeah, we decided to let's do an evening of beat poets. And so we did. We picked Ginsberg and Ferlinghetti and Burroughs. And who else is in there? Did I mention Ginsberg? Did I say Ginsberg?
Yes, I think
and Kerouac?
So, yes.
And then, oh man, I don't know, I have to look this up, but a female poet, I can't remember her name. So anyway, we did that 3 or 4 years ago, and we went around to coffee shops. We did it, what was then, I think, Zales. We went down to Steve's Guitar in Carbondale. We did it at Saxe's and Basalt. And that evening was, yeah, we had these poets together, and we would they would recite. It was all memorized, recite their poetry, and there would be a little introduction and narrative. This time around, we will probably workshop this piece around in various live instances like that. But I'm more interested this time to elevate it into a performance evening. And that means lights and sound, and that there is a connective storyline between these folks. So that's our goal. And to put it in a venue, say, I don't know what, like the District Theater or the Wheeler or even maybe the Black Box, and make an evening out of it, that these people come together in the way we suppose it now, although it may not end up this way, they all meet in a bar. It might be, what was that movie where these people get together after somebody died?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, anyway, whatever that was.
It was The Big Chill.
Big Chill. Yeah. In other words, these poets, and we, you know, we're just workshopping it now, so we don't know what the ultimate product is going to be. But it's that kind of thing. They come together and discuss their lives, of course, recite some of their poetry, but have a dramatic evening of it. And so that's what we're in workshop, and we hope to have that up sometime in the fall, this coming fall. And then I might say the last thing, which we initiated last year, which we anticipate this year, is a concert Christmas reading of Christmas stories. Last year we did everything from Truman Capote to Dylan Thomas, O. Henry, had a cowboy Christmas story. And we did it in the community church last year, which was really a beautiful environment. And so we intend to do that again this year in December.
All right. Well, Kent Reed, thank you.
Thank you so much, Roger.